Unthinkable wreckage from a historic storm. The region recovers from Jamestown to Bemidji. We'll break it down from just about every angle today on the program. There's also wreckage in Iran today after weekend strikes by U.S. bombers. Today, Iran responds. Kind of. And another senseless shooting in Moorhead today in what's becoming almost a daily occurrence. What's going on in Moorhead? Those stories and more coming up today on the Steve Holstrom Show. Good afternoon, my friend. It's June 23rd, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. It's my daily greeting to you as we begin conversation here on the program today. We are going to move extremely quickly today because I continue to shake my head at almost a repetitive basis all day long when I hear more and more information and perspective about this storm that rolled through on Friday night, early Saturday morning. And I've got a number of guests who are going to talk about that today. We're going to give Dino's pipes a break. He's been talking ad nauseum about the storm here today on the program. Daryl Richeson is here, the director from the North Dakota Ag Weather Network. We're going to visit with Daryl about his perspective on the storm, what happened and how. Brian Kronk will be here talking about financial matters with international events and things like that. That will be probably the one guest that doesn't have anything to do with storm damage today. We're attempting to confirm a interview with Dion Mascio, the mayor of Enderlin, at 4:50 today. Then in the 5 o'clock hour, DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance agent, will be here. I asked DJ if he'd stop in today because I want to find out, what do we do now if we've had damage? How do we cover things when everything would cost a fortune if you covered all your bins and all your outbuildings? What should we be thinking about when it comes to insurance today, deductibles and all those things? We'll hit that with DJ. Bridget Riedel, our ag director from Flag Family Media, will be with us at 5:35 today. We lost probably in the millions of bushels of storage for our grain. And what do you do if you have grain yet? Some soybean fields got absolutely hammered. But what do you do? Take it right off the combine to the elevator, but not every elevator is standing or has capacity right now. If you can't store your grain, what do you do? So there's a lot of head shaking going on in the ag community today. And then at 5:50 today, Jim Hydorn, the mayor of Page, will join us. Hard to find an area hit harder than Page. So all that coming up on the show today. So as I mentioned, we got to hop to it. So let's get going here with the 4 o'clock wrap. I'll tell you first, though, that the Steve Holstrom Studios built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ram Jack North. Your home is your greatest asset, protected, and go to pccnd.com to learn more. The phone line is sponsored by Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness, and that will get a workout today, 701-271-1100. Valley Christian Counseling has recently expanded and can get you in fast. They offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. All right, let's get to it here with these stories making headlines today. We start with the almanac, as we do each afternoon here on the Steve Holstrom Show. Average high for today, up a degree from Friday. 80 degrees is our average high. 58 is our average low. Record high 96 back in 1898. What? There were no record high temperatures set back in 1898. That was the decade of the ice age, I think. But we were hot on this day in 1898. On this day in 1967, we got down to 36, and that is our record low. Sunrise this morning at 5:33, sunset at 9:25, and yes, friends, I have to break the news to you today. We will lose daylight today. We will lose 10 seconds of daylight today. We've reached that time of the summer. All right, you tell me what's happening. I don't know. The market jumps today after the United States attacks Iran. Iran responds. Usually this makes financial markets and oil and gold do all kinds of funny things, and it didn't happen today. The Dow was up 374, S&P 500 up 57, the NASDAQ was up 183. WTI crude oil, usually when you're talking about war in the Middle East, it sends oil jumping, but oil was down $6 a barrel today at $67.23. Gold today should be up on a day like today. It's not. Down $2 an ounce at $3,384. Silver up 3 cents an ounce at $36.05. Bitcoin today, boy, what a wild ride Bitcoin always is, but certainly over the last couple of days or so, up about 5 percentage points today at 103,942. Late Friday, it was trading under 100,000. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.22. That's up a penny from Friday. North Dakota's average price is $2.96. Minnesota $3.10. South Dakota at $3.02. In the news today, there are still about 2,000 customers without power, according to PowerOutage.us, a website that I refer to often when it comes to power outages. County with the most outages still is Stutsman County. About 930 customers are out. In Barnes County, 917. In Trail County, about 124 customers are without power. And in Ransom County, about 111. Preliminary estimates from the National Weather Service have come in, and it rates the Enderlin tornado as an EF3 on the Fujita scale. That means wind gusts at least got to 136 miles an hour. We know now who the three people are that were killed late Friday by that tornado near Enderlin. The forum reports that Michael and Catherine Dean, both 73 years of age, died at their home about a mile east of Enderlin on Highway 46. The tornado also killed 89-year-old Macario Lucio, according to a press release from the Cass County Sheriff's Office. It comes from the product of two what are being called supercell storms traveling across eastern North Dakota that produce hail, damaging winds, multiple tornadoes. National Weather Service has now confirmed tornadoes, at least four of them, one near Spiritwood, another near Valley City, another near Fort Ransom, another one near Enderlin. There may be more by the time this is all said and done. And, of course, it was the straight line winds that were the culprit for most of the area. North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong will be in the area later this week to inspect tornado damage. He has declared a statewide disaster, activated the state emergency operations plan, and he will be out touring areas to the west of the metro coming up later this week. As the cleanup and recovery process continues in Enderlin, a local bank has set up a fund for victims of last Friday's tornado. Bank North's Enderlin branch says you can deposit funds at any Bank North location. Just earmark the funds to Enderlin tornado victims. You can also mail it to the bank in Enderlin. Easy to find that online. WDAY Radio reports that a shooting investigation is underway in Moorhead. What's going on in Moorhead? My goodness, we've got shootings all over in Moorhead here. Happened just after 11 o'clock last night in the 700 block of 15th Street North. Multiple gunshots were reported there. Responding officers found multiple witnesses, cartridge casings as well. Moorhead police then went to a local hospital where a man was found to have a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. The parties are believed to know each other. The investigation continues. The big national, international story today, Iran launched a limited missile attack earlier today on a U.S. military base in Qatar, retaliating for the American bombing of nuclear sites over the weekend. But Iran is indicating it is preparing to step back from escalating tensions in the volatile region. President Donald Trump called the attack a very weak response, said the U.S. was warned by Iran in advance. Trump says hopefully they've gotten it all out of their system. So it doesn't sound like anything they weren't ready for or anything they couldn't handle. There were no reports of injuries and very minor reports of damage. It's 4:15 here on the Steve Holsham Show. A short break for us. When we come back, we're going to visit with Daryl Richeson, the executive director of the North Dakota Ag Weather Network. He's seen a lot of weather come through in his time forecasting here. How did this storm compare to some of the others that he has seen? We'll talk to Daryl about that as we continue on the Steve Holsham Show. All right, every week at this time, we like to visit with our good folks, our good friends over at Travel Travel. Those good folks always have some great ideas for getaways. Katie's on the line with us today. Katie, good afternoon. Where do you want to send us to today?
Good afternoon. We have an amazing special. What we're going to do is we have a Mississippi River cruise on Viking Cruise Lines. So we are going to go December 27th through January 3rd. Mm. We're going to do our airfare from Fargo, all our transfers, and we're doing a 7-day Mississippi River cruise, and it actually starts in New Orleans, and then it goes up, and then it goes back down to New Orleans. And this is all-inclusive, pretty much all your meals, all your beverages, and excursion on each stop. and the price is $38.24 per person.
That sounds like a lot of fun. What a neat way to ring in the new year and do it a little bit differently this year.
Right. And New Orleans is such a great place. I can guarantee you, you're going to have a good time.
Absolutely. Yes. Travel. They are the place to call if you want to think about booking travel. Maybe for yourself, for the family, maybe a work, corporate travel package you're looking for. They can certainly take care of you in a number of different ways and a number of different destinations. If you look for a cruise, beach getaway, maybe something over to Europe, they can do it all. 701-492-5000, 701-492-5000. Katie, thanks for sharing the details with us. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
You bet. Take care. 421 Steve Hallstrom Show. It is the story that everybody is talking about today. A number of tornadoes and high-level wind gusts hitting us on Friday night into Saturday. Daryl Richeson is the executive director of the North Dakota Ag Weather Network, and he joins us to give us some perspective on this storm. Daryl, thanks for stopping in. When did you start to realize that this was going to be as nasty a storm as maybe it turned out to be? Or when did you get an idea that we could be looking at something really bad?
Probably, you know, not the tornado part. Because that's a much different, you know, scenario to forecast. But, you know, on Wednesday and Thursday last week when people asked me about Friday, and I said, oh, no doubt there'll probably be a tornado here or there. There might be some hail. But really the focus, you know, really what kind of makes me a little bit nervous is the straight-line wind potential on Friday. And so when we got to maybe this time on Friday afternoon, the thunderstorms formed in southeastern Montana, and actually on X, you know, formerly known as Twitter, I had actually tweeted, go, well, here's the beginning of a straight line of the wind that's probably going to surge through the entire state and get into western Minnesota tonight, you know, stay weather aware. Because once I see them form, and then I go, okay, the process has started, you know, there's really nothing that's going to stop that. And then it was really after that was, will the atmosphere allow the supercells to form? Unfortunately, it was only two. The atmosphere had a lot of potential that night. But would supercells form ahead of that line, then that would be the prospect of getting any tornadoes. And, of course, we did get two finally developing in the evening.
That one tornado down by Enderlin, if I heard right, I heard somebody say that it's been measured or they believe the path was 3 miles wide. That doesn't even seem possible.
It probably not, you know, it gets to, I I'm the state climatologist. I'm the director of NDON. You know, that would be a world record for tornadoes.
Well, that's
it probably wasn't that wide. But, you know, you have to remember tornadoes have this thing called a rear flanking downdraft associated with them, which is a crucial element in tornado development. That rear flanking downdraft, not this time, but very commonly causes more damage than the tornadoes. And so when people see the track that wide, yeah, their damage was, but it very unlikely was the tornado actually that wide.
How common is it for us to get two of those supercells, as you call them, moving kind of simultaneously, kind of one wave right behind the other? And then I guess I heard that one kind of caught the other one and it kind of morphed into one big system. How common is that for those things to develop that close to each other?
We have not had, if you think about it, all that many tornadoes or supercells in the last 5 years, really, because, you know, we've been generally dry. And for, you know, the thing is, it's severe weather that creates a lot of our rainfall in the summertime. So it has that net positive. Net negative is, you know, the damage and, you know, the horrid deaths that associated with it on Friday night. But yeah, I didn't really find that uncommon. It's just it hasn't occurred recently. So then in turn, you know, when you haven't experienced this in 5 years, you know, it's a little bit more surprising and understandably so.
Yeah, some of the statistics that we hear about this, EF rankings and things like that, could potentially get us into an EF3. And I think I heard Dean say that there's a potential it gets to a 4. Dean was talking about, you know, category. It's similar to some hurricane kind of things. How far back do we have to go before we can find a storm that came through like this one?
Well, it's just like 5-6 years ago. But here's always the problem, and I'm glad you brought it up. You have to remember the F scale that was translated to the EF scale in 2007 is a damage scale. It's not a wind scale. It's a damage scale. So what happened in Enderlin, I could very confidently tell you, to me, was easily an EF4. But it didn't hit anything that we could substantiate that. It's a damage scale. And so, you know, you see pictures sometimes of very large tornadoes, and you go and you think, wow, how did that only get ranked in EF2? Well, it got ranked in EF2 because it's a damage scale. It only went through tree rolls, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't hit a structure. So the Enderlin tornado, had it hit the correct structure, may have been an EF5.
Mm.
But again, it didn't hit the correct structure to do that in the guidelines to accurately measure the wind speeds. So again, it's always that problem with tornadoes is it's a damage scale. And if it doesn't hit a structure that they can properly measure it, it gets downgraded lower than it would have been otherwise. And so that's why you always have to be careful with the EF scale.
Yeah, the whole issue with the straight line winds was the thing. Not surprising, you can get a couple tornadoes that come out of the same system. This one apparently, according to some of the reporting, is four. But Daryl, I'm hearing, and again, I don't know, I'm just going by what you are hearing people say, that there were continued straight line winds over 100 miles an hour for like an hour. I heard that about one of the stretches between Jamestown and Mayville, somewhere in that area. I don't know how long, I don't know how heavy or how high the winds or whatever, but I remember talking with you at one time. You were the one that kind of taught me the whole term of microburst and how we can get that out of severe thunderstorms. And you can get these wind pockets that just jump, and all of a sudden you got 60, 70 mile an hour winds. I didn't know it was possible for us to get 100 mile an hour wind gusts in this part of the world.
It was not this time created by microburst. This is really a rear inflow jet that was associated with this concept called the mesoscale convective vorticity. So
I was going to say that, but thank you for helping me out there.
And so, you know, the whole 100 mile per hour thing, we have numerous end-on stations, the North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network, in that area. And so really, you know, more practical here, and this is still crazy, folks. You know, 100 sounds great, and it did occur in some places. But really what we had was 60 to 70 mile per hour wind sustained, and a sustained wind is a two-minute average. With gust, and a gust is a three-second sample, that's how Endon does it, and that's universal for the most part. So we had 60 gusting into the 80s in that corridor that you just mentioned for 90 minutes, about an hour and a half. And that's why you would get all the damage. I mean, that is being in Florida at the beach with a hurricane coming in for 90 minutes. So it'd be what Floridians would experience. And most of the time, even the hurricanes would move out of an area and they wouldn't have wind that strong much more than, say, an hour or two.
Mm.
That's what happened in that stretch across northern Stutzman, northern Barnes, into northwestern Cass County in particular.
Is that where it got hit the hardest from this whole thing?
From the straight line wind, yes. Yeah. So okay. It's really northern Burley through that stretch. And if you look at Endon, or if you happen to be a subscriber, look at X. Look at my feed. It's just at Daryl Richeson, or look for ND Weather, WX, and you will see some maps from Endon. And matter of fact, I was in that area today because we did sustain some damage to our weather stations
associated with that. Yeah.
But also saw a lot of the damage, you know, when we were out there today as well. But that corridor was just perfectly orientated to get this rear inflow jet in combination with this mesoscale convective vortex that went through, and again, slow moving.
Yeah.
It brought in the upper level winds downward, and there was just this perfect scenario that happened during that time. So you could use the term derecho, and I think by definition it made it. You know, there's always definitions, and people will correct you. But
is that what we used to call a bow echo?
Bow echo, this in many ways was a bow echo. You could use that term.
That's what I used to hear for years. And now all of a sudden we get this new word called derecho out of nowhere.
Well, derecho has been around. You know, I've been in this business for 35 years. It's really been around most of that time. It has, you know, it has to be certain winds at a certain distance.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, social media. Well, Daryl, it technically didn't. You know, that kind of stuff happens.
Yep.
But it was really a derecho. But the reason was, you know, it went there. And if you really want to get into the weeds on this one, go on X, go to my account, and one of my former employees wrote this incredible thread that will go into detail and explain it to you.
Last question. I could talk about this stuff all day, but time being what it is, I heard a report. I don't know where it came from. It's kind of somebody said, but it was a record low pressure reading out of the storm coming up Friday. Is there any truth to that, or do you know what that's all about?
I'm looking into it.
Okay.
I don't think so, but I'm looking into it, and I'll stay neutral until I can prove it one way or the other.
Okay.
Again, you know, we have the end-on stations now that we're capable of getting really into those microclimate, yeah, smaller areas.
And we haven't had these forever, so this,
right,
is a good thing.
Yeah, correct. And I don't think it'll end up being a state record, but I will say it was very low,
yeah,
pressure.
Very close.
Close. And the thing is, if we could take the measurement over a tornado, trust me, the pressure is lower. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking into that, actually, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Last question. I only have about 45 seconds or so, but what needs to be said about this storm or this system that hasn't been talked about enough, do you think?
It is an example to me in many ways of the extreme climate that we live here in North Dakota. You know, we get down to 40 below in the winter. We get up above 100 in the summertime. You know, most places on the planet don't do that.
That's true.
We have capabilities of having straight-line winds over 100 miles per hour. We can get large tornadoes. It's all part of our climate. None of it, what I classify as unusual. Some things only happen once every 30 or 40 years. But it is a testament to where we live as a climatic source. It's an area we experience stuff here that most of the planet would never,
yeah,
experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and we still choose to live here. Daryl, thank you for the time and the perspective. Really appreciate you on days like this.
You're very welcome.
Daryl Richeson, the executive director of the North Dakota Ag Weather Network and the North Dakota State Climatologist. We had a check of news coming up. Let's head over to the newsroom right now. Hey, if you want to stay in your home as long as possible, well, I get that. I mean, if you go to the nursing home, average cost is more than $9,000 a month, but you got to be safe in your home, especially as we get older. You can't stay in that home forever if you don't make some changes. How about your bathroom? Well, did you know that the biggest issue with safety in the home for Americans 65 and older is stepping over the tub? Yes, one in four Americans 65 and older fall each year, and stepping over the tub is the number one place in the house where people fall. So you got to start in the bathroom. That's why Style Safe Bath and Shower is here. They're locally owned. They've done more than 1,000 jobs in our community since they opened in 2010. They are the experts in tub to shower conversions. Veteran friendly. They know how to work with the VA as well. Go to stylesafefargo.com. That's stylesafefargo.com and find out more about Style Safe Bath and Shower. Well, when I want to feel safe talking about the investment markets, I call my friend Brian Kronk from Collins and Kronk Investment Advisors. He's a managing partner over there. Brian, good afternoon. Good to see you again, my man.
Great to see you as well. Gosh, what a beautiful afternoon. It's that calm after the storm. I don't,
yes,
know what it is, but it's a pretty great day.
It is a great day. Our thoughts, our prayers go out to the people that are dealing with massive amounts of cleanup. But for a lot of people, their portfolio and their investments, that's something they need to be attending to as well. Brian, I guess I'm going to start with today's kind of what we're seeing. You know, you have this potential of breakout of tensions in the Middle East. You have, you know, the United States getting involved and people talking about things are going to heck over there. And yet oil prices go down $6 a barrel. Gold is down today and stocks are up. These are not typically the things that we see. Help us make sense of it all.
Isn't it great? I talk about a positive economy, a positive view of these actions by the world and by investors. I think all eyes were really going to be glued to the U.S. stock market today to see what the reaction would be. I was excited just for Monday morning to see that myself because, you know, it really could have gone both ways. Typically after an event like this, you'd expect to see a big sell-off. You know, over the weekend, we saw oil futures were rising and it looked like, you know, that was where we were going to have our worries and rising inflation and rising energy costs.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we've saw a huge rally today. Everything you just said, oil prices were basically plunging after being, you know, up so much on the futures. And what is this market telling us? It's saying, hey, things look good. Things are healthy. Don't pay any attention to this thing in Iran. Everything is going to be great.
Well, you answered my next question. I was going to say, what is the market trying to tell us? And the market must feel like even if the Strait of Hormuz gets cut off,
right,
and they can't transport oil out of there, The American stock market must be telling us drill, baby, drill still works.
It is just amazing to me. You know, I know Trump takes some of his cues from the market. That's important to him. He'd like to have a good stock market under him. But if this is the market saying, hey, we like what you're doing, it is just amazing because this is not the reaction after doing this for 27 years that I would have expected to see in the market today. You know, typically we would have that big sell-off. We'd have a lot of worry. We'd wonder what's coming, you know, next. And we didn't get any of that. You know, global events like this don't usually pull down the markets for the long term, but we have had so many events. We've had, you know, bad inflation numbers. We've had, you know, things that talk about, you know, the president's doing the wrong decision on tariffs. We've got this global trade war. I mean, we can go through a list of all these negative things that should knock this stock market down and put us into a recession. And instead, the resilience has been so impressive. We're at, you know, back to the highs that we were, you know, before the old tariff announcement was ever announced.
Yes.
And so it's just really impressive to see, you know, all this great economic news and all of this great action in the market.
Is there a better indicator to go off of when you're thinking about turning off the big media, the legacy media, and pay attention to something else? Because if you watch legacy media, the big the three-letter networks are all telling you how much of an idiot Trump is. He can't do anything right. People hate the tariffs. He's doing the wrong thing in the Middle East. And the market is telling you, I mean, we're basically within, what, 2% of a record high on this S&P 500 index?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, it's not just one thing or two things. There has been a litany of negative events. You know, we've got somebody in our office that follows politics for us on a very regular basis. And they said, you know, typically a new president is going to come in and this is going to be not a great year for the economy and the markets because they're going to try and get out of the way all of those, you know, things that are just, you know, that they taste bad in our mouth and they're things that we wouldn't maybe have voted for outright and things of that nature. So all the yuckiness is going to happen in this first 18 months. And guess what? Even in spite of this yuckiness, we're seeing good news. We're seeing people vote with their pocketbooks. Even consumer confidence is still higher than anybody would have ever thought.
True.
You know, the economy is indeed slowing, which it should be. And we're seeing, you know, some headwinds and there's negatives out there that I can point to. But, you know, just what you said with the market being basically at all times highs, it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah. And I think if you take a look at where the American business climate is right now and the entrepreneurs out there, the business owners, I think what you get from people is, look, all the fundamentals here are still good. There's just still so much I don't know about what's going to happen that I'd like to be excited. But we have all these things just make me say, do I want to really expand? Do I want to really hire people right now? What advice can you give to people on looking at what the stock market might be telling them about some cues to take about how aggressive to be in your near future?
Well, I think you raised the big issue. There's still the great unknown. This trade war is not quite defined. The tax bill is not yet passed. And so when we start to think about it, there are these giant question marks out there. People are proceeding with caution. You know, big employers, you know, how do you plan for the next 5 years or 10 years or giant capital improvements or building a new factory if you don't even know if it's going to be deductible or what the tax law is going to be like? So there are those unknowns out there. And that's the little bit of a negative slant that I'd put on what's going on. We've got all this vibrance that's out there, but the S&P 500 can't seem to make it far above that 6,000 level. So we're sort of stuck there. There's this ceiling there. I think if we got some sort of resolution to the trade war or when this tax bill finally passes, that's going to lift the ceiling off of us and make room for us to really just bolt higher. But the worry that I've had that we get negative news and it goes down the other direction, that doesn't seem to be happening. So I think we're all just waiting for the good news.
I think that's what all the technicians are saying right now is we keep bumping our head on 6,000. Right. But if we can stay sideways, and for the most part, besides some of these little weird one-day things, we have basically been trending sideways. So if we get some good news on good volume, then I think we could be another leg up.
I really think so, too. And if you look at the market formation from a technical standpoint, if we can break out above that, like you say, the next leg up could be huge. And in the meantime, you can tell that there is money out there that wants to be invested. It's kind of rotating as we go sideways. If the overall market isn't going higher, it's coming out of some things and moving into some other things. And we're still seeing individual stocks that have some fantastic gains, even though the market indices aren't moving higher. And that tells me there's a lot of healthiness to all of this.
You have been a voice of reason on buying and getting in and doubling down because you've been talking about how things are still fairly spendy according to historical values,
right,
and price to earnings, PE ratios and so forth, still being a little spendy. So how are you playing it right now? Are you a buyer? Are you a seller? Or are you just piling up some cash and waiting to go to work when things present themselves?
Yeah, it is amazing. So we have taken some of the speculation off the table because I just think, you know, we needed to take those profits or the market was going to take them away from us. But our core holdings, which really kind of reflect our core philosophy, the idea that what we really want to do is just own high quality productive assets. You know, we don't need to, if we own one of the greatest companies in the world, we don't need to be trading in and out of it and trying to look at all the quirkiness of the market. None of this stuff going on in Iran or Washington DC or anything makes a difference. When you own some of the greatest companies in the world, they're going to continue to producing income for our shareholders. And that's what we're really focused on. So really, aside from taking our speculative profits, we're just holding our core holdings. And if we get a dip here and there, we're adding to them.
How did you guys play the tariff? We took the, you know, 15-20% hammer right away. And now we've kind of built it back up. Did you dip your toe in the pool there, or was there just so much wild swing that it made it hard to really get confident about anything?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked that, because actually we did have cash on the sidelines to dip in. And what's nice is you guys archive a lot of these shows, and so you can go back and you can talk about before the trade war how we were actually telling people, raise cash, take profits where you can, make sure that the stuff you want to own, you're going to own through thick and thin, because you might not get that opportunity. And so we were sitting on some cash that we did get to go ahead and take advantage of that dip and add to some of our core holdings and then buy some other things that were more of just of a trade. But really the whole point of all of that was to kind of remodel our portfolio, say, let's remove some of these things that might be more, you know, hurt by the tariffs and get into things that are more, you know, U.S. oriented, or at least have a buffer so they're not so outright hurt by the tariffs coming at us. And that's made all the difference.
Yeah, I've got to ask you about Tesla today.
Yeah.
Up 8% after the robo-taxi went up without a hitch. I think I saw their doing taxi rides now for $4.50 or something like that. I've always heard people say Tesla's not, you think about them with the electronic cars, but really they're a technology company and their foundational technology is so good and they're starting to show some of this off. Are you, do you like Tesla as an investment, or is it just kind of something that's fun to watch from the sidelines?
Yeah, I can't really comment on the individual stock as an investment, but we're going to use the same criteria we do for all of our companies. Does it meet our criteria as a buy? Is it the right price? Are they innovative? And those who have listened for a long time know the kind of companies that we invest in, but you can't argue with Elon Musk and what a great company he's built and just all of the things that we're doing within Tesla. You know, you look at that car company, you could say, is this a car company? Is this a technology company? But think about just the concept of that. This robo-taxi thing is huge. Just, you know, hey, it's going to be a competitor to Waymo and Uber. But take it beyond that and say, okay, what about when you're not using your Tesla and it's out there earning an income for you, being a robo-taxi, and then at 4 o'clock it comes by and picks you up and brings you home? Or think about this, Steve. You have it give you a ride to the airport for your 5 a.m. flight, and then it drives itself home and parks in your garage for you. That's really what we're talking about. That's the technology that Elon Musk is putting out there, and that's so much more than a car company.
Insane. It's absolutely insane. I love it, but I'm scared to death of all these things.
I hear you.
Question that just came in on the text line. Steve, could you ask Brian if he has any services available for someone who has all their investments tied up in a 401k? What do you do, Brian, when someone comes and says, hey, I hear you on the radio. It sounds like you know what you're doing, but all my money's in the 401k through work. How can you help them?
You know, that is a great question. And realistically, yes, we do. So feel free to reach out to our office. We'll visit with you. So most of the time people come in and our fees are paid out of their account or something along those nature. But we do have people who have all of their money tied up in their business or in their 401k, but they still need a financial plan. They still need advice on valuing their business or selling their business, or maybe just getting their 401k invested into the right mutual funds inside of there. And so we'll just charge them that fee on the side of that. They'll write us a check or something of that nature and do it that way too.
Okay.
So you don't have to have all your assets with us at Collins and Kronk. We can work with you in any capacity.
701-235-0119. I've heard that number a time
there
or two. 235-0119. Just call Brian, and it doesn't hurt to call and say, hey, here's my situation. anything you can do. And Brian and his partner, Jeff, have always been great to us. Tracy and I have our money with Brian, and he's always told us, hey, there's a lot of stuff that we can do, estate planning and things like that as well, if you want to talk about some of those things. Generally speaking, if you open up the hood and get under it with your financial life, there's something there that could be tuned up. And Brian and his team are great at taking a look under your hood. So give him a call, 701-235-0119. Brian, thanks for coming by. Always great to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. You have a great rest of your day.
You too. Nobody better than this guy, and it's fun to sit and talk about stuff like this with him every so often. All right, short break here on the program. When we return, how did they pull it off? How did the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, and President Trump pull off what happened over the weekend without anybody knowing about it? Decoys, deception, and in the end, it looks like success. We'll talk about it next. Well, it all started when Donald Trump said late last week, sometime in the next 2 weeks, I'll kind of decide what I might want to feel like doing about Iran. Well, as it turned out, he had something up his sleeve. Saturday afternoon, reports came out about B-2 bombers flying toward Guam. Obviously, the Western Pacific region there. But it was all a ruse. What ended up happening was, while those aircraft flew into the Pacific, there were 7 B-2 Spirit bombers and a whole bunch of refueling aircraft that they needed to keep the bombers in the air. They didn't want to land, right? They wanted to get in and get out and get it done. They flew to Iran going east, 18-hour flight into the target area. And they were going now, as we know, for the nuclear research facilities. And as the main aircraft got in the Middle East, the U.S. deployed some more decoy aircraft over in that region to draw attention away from the bombers. So, and then we had Tomahawk cruise missiles that were launched there to another area while this whole thing was going on one sort of air traffic channel there. So basically you had a big deception going on, and I don't know. I would think that technology would be advanced enough for the Iranians to have seen, hey, this was a big distraction. But maybe they didn't have anything that they could do about it anyway, because it sounds like the aircraft was met with basically no resistance at all. Jennifer Griffin has been covering the White House for 20 years, 18 to be exact. She says, she told Fox News Channel, in my 18 years at the Pentagon, I've never seen such operational security. There were no leaks. Nobody was talking about this. A complete blackout in information about Iran at the Pentagon for the last few days. Now, the Democrats are screaming that they weren't informed. They didn't get permission. Hakeem Jeffries, I didn't know about this. Why in the world would you tell Democrats in 2025 in Congress what you're going to do? They'd have been waiting for him somehow, somewhere. Now, there's a lot that we don't know about what really happened. I don't know. Did they get all the uranium? The Iranians are saying, well, we extricated it all. We took it to a new location. It doesn't matter. They're going to obviously say any lie they want to today. But even if they did get some of the uranium out there, had it transported somewhere else, they don't have the facilities built now for the development. So the world really is a safer place today, no doubt about that. One Twitter post I saw today made me laugh, and the world being a safer place, not everybody loves it or agrees with it. The post I saw said, if Trump cured cancer, there would be Democrats tweeting about oncology nurses losing their jobs. And you know what? That's about the way it goes. Hour two of the program coming up next. We have got guests upon guests today in the second hour of the program. Coming to you live from the Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North Studio. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect your greatest asset. Go to PCCND.com to learn more. My buddy Scott Hennon stops by this time every Monday for a little chat on the world going on around us. Scotty, I've got 3 guests in the next 3 segments. So how about you and I do the top 5 at 5 today?
Are we rapid fire here?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it. So right. I got 5 stories. I'll give you just a chance to give a comment after each one of them. First one is just an update on power outages. According to Cass County Electric, Xcel Energy, and a couple others, they kind of have this sort of clearinghouse at a place called poweroutage.us. There are still 3,300 customers that are without power right now. The county that has the most is Stutsman County, where they got hit very hard, obviously. 1,200 customers without power. Barnes County, 841. Griggs County, 131. Trail, 116. Cass County, 846. And Ransom County, 104. I know you were up in Bemidji. And Scott, I don't remember a storm that started in Jamestown and went through Bemidji before like that one did.
Yeah, I guess I asked Dean Nowosaki about that this morning. They were two separate cells, but with equal intensity. So it's pretty ugly. I would just say quickly, you know, the things we take for granted in this world are pretty amazing. And power is one. Mm. And without it, your life is just disrupted. So, A, thanks to people that keep the power on, like clean, beautiful coal in our part of the world, as an example. And also, I would say, you know, the tip of the spear when power is out is those linemen and all those people that do the good work at all hours of the day and night. So shout out to all of them. 3,300 is still a lot of people without power, but it was a lot higher, and they did a lot of work quick. So way to go.
Can you imagine if we didn't have fossil fuel power? Like in California, they're rolling blackouts all the time. What if we had just rolling blackouts in North Dakota during a weekend like this one?
Exactly.
How would you do it? It's just not a, it's not a functional solution. It just doesn't work at all. Sad for three fatalities that happened. And, you know, just tens of millions. Somebody, I heard somebody say that it's going to be a $1 billion storm. I don't doubt that with all the damage that we have taken place. It's going to be tens and hundreds of millions for sure.
What is really, you know, obviously the three lives, extremely tragic for them and awful. Not trying to diminish the difficulty of dealing with that. But if you'd have put that level of the storm over a population center like Fargo, you'd have had 1957 all over again.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine? A shooting investigation is underway in Moorhead, Scott, which will not surprise you because we have one basically every day now. What is going on in Moorhead? Last night about 11 o'clock, somebody shot somebody else. It's like this is like every other day there's somebody getting shot in Moorhead.
Yeah, again, a realization of, you know, where we're at. And I continue to think that we need to get tougher on violent criminals and keep them in jail for their full sentences and be tougher with the sentences when they're repeat offenders. But this has become a reality of the Fargo-Moorhead Metro that these are not unusual.
Story number three, Fed Reserve Governor Michelle Bowman said today she would favor an interest rate cut at the next policy meeting in July, so long as we don't get any crazy news about inflation. Now, this sounds a lot like what Chris Waller, another Fed governor, said last week, that the Fed should consider cutting in July. To this point, it has been Powell has kind of come in front of everybody and said, hey, it's pretty unanimous, 12-0. Everybody says we're good. Well, we're starting to see some people kind of pushing back the other way right now. Are you surprised by that?
No. Come on. I mean, compare other countries to what they've done in the face of this economy. And I don't like it at all. I think it's and isn't Powell blaming tariffs or something when they're generating more revenue? And, you know, again, I love the fact that Donald Trump has said, hey, I'm fighting for the little guy. I think a lot of these farmers and ranchers now, they're having to take on more and more debt as, you know, crop prices and things might have gotten more difficult. We haven't really got a good read on the agriculture impacts from the storm this weekend as well. But lower rates, let's go. This is ridiculous.
I don't think the Bowman and Waller come out and say these things publicly without kind of vetting it ahead of time behind the scenes and like, hey, can we start like saying what we think on this one? So maybe this is an indication there's something there to come. This is the first time Larry Kudlow's been kind of my source of perspective because Larry Kudlow's been around for a couple minutes. And he said this is the first time that the Fed has ever ignored the data that we have in front of our faces right now and said something could happen sometime down the line, so we're going to keep interest rates high.
It's unbelievable. I wish, too, we had a daily ticker on how much interest rates where they are cost the federal government. You know, obviously they're concerned about debt. Well, again, by not lowering rates, they're adding to it to a higher than they need to, as you say,
refinancing that
debt. To the data, not to mention what you would do with more borrowing and more investing and more things that would happen as a result of lower rates. Yeah. A lot of people have pumped the brakes given these rates.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. A quarter point now and a quarter point later on in the fall, is that enough to really open up the floodgates? I don't know, but it certainly gives a little bit more consumer confidence, which is already fairly high.
So get it going in the right direction.
I think so, too. Yeah. if this is a war between the United States and Iran, it's the most polite war I've ever seen. Iran called and let them know, okay, we're going to send some stuff over, kind of lob some firecrackers over the fence, just so you know. And Trump thanked them for the advance warning and now says he's going to encourage Israel, according to the reporting, to stop attacks in the region. This has been very bizarre how the reaction has happened since the bunker busters. Any surprise to you on this?
No, I think this is a way for Iran to save face and say, there, we gave you that a little back, but this is a good signal that they're not going postal here. And I think what's different about Trump, you can like it or not like it, but he's very transparent. I mean, he is you know exactly what he's thinking, and he lays it out there. I think normally when a country would say, here's the deal, for our own sake and our own, population, we gotta respond to this, but we're gonna poke some missiles at places that will be in the middle of the desert, and we'll say we do it. Normally, you'd just say, okay, good, we got it. You'd protect yourself accordingly. You wouldn't say anything. Donald Trump says, oh, they gave us a heads up.
Yep.
So sort of removing a little bit of the save face thing. But in my mind, Israel has done such a good job weakening so many parts of that country. We took out the real threat, and that is, the ability to put these nukes on warheads within days and then send them 4,000 or 8,000 miles. So I think this is so far a good indication that we've neutralized the threat.
Yep.
We'll see. Time will tell.
Last story in the top five of five today. You and I both share an affinity for the great city of New York.
True.
It looks like if we're going, the new mayor of New York is going to be either Andrew Cuomo or the socialist Zoran Mamdani. And the voting is apparently very close. 35% of voters support Cuomo, 32% for Mamdani, who is, I guess, just basically an outright socialist
lunatic.
Never before have we rooted for a Cuomo to get back into office again, but it looks like he's the best option here.
I forget where I saw it, but Curtis Sliwa is in there too, the founder of the Guardian Angels. There was some speculation that with a race like that, Cuomo and the socialist, that you could have Sliwa sneak in there, which would be great. He's awesome. He's run for mayor before.
Okay,
I suppose Cuomo could be considered reasonable even with the his issues as governor, but what a mess. I mean, I root for that city every day. I've got a daughter there, soon to have two daughters there. Love the place, but it is a really good example of really nice places that contribute mightily to the fabric of the United States being turned into cesspools because of liberal politicians.
Absolutely.
Who can't have an insatiable appetite for tax money, and just keep raising taxes, and the things keep getting worse for the people paying them. It's awful.
The Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small-town living is still a thing. And I want to let you know that if you own a ranch, a business, an elevator, anything like that, you need cleanup help. Labor Masters has a lot of people ready to go, and they would love to send someone out your way. I saw Nancy walking through the building here earlier today, and she is a great resource. If you need some help, anytime you need a hand, think Labor Masters. And I know there are a lot of people that need a hand right now.
And it's just the easy button. I've called them for half a dozen things, and just make it happen now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anytime you need a hand with anything at all. Scotty, thanks for stopping by. Good to see you, my man.
Absolutely.
The one and only Scott Hannon. You hear his show 8:30 weekdays right here on The Flag. When we come back, if you have had damage to your farm, your ranch, your business, there's a guest coming up next, DJ Coulter from American Family Insurance. I asked him to pay us a visit here on the program today to talk about what do we do when we have suffered damage? What do we do now? And going forward, how do we cover things when covering everything costs a fortune? We'll talk to DJ about that coming up next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, we got breaking news that has just come in. President Trump has announced just 6 minutes ago a ceasefire between Israel and Iran that he hopes will become permanent. He has posted on multiple social media accounts, quote, it's been fully agreed by and between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire in approximately 6 hours from now when Israel and Iran have wound down and completed their in-progress final missions. This will happen for 12 hours, at which point the war will be considered ended. And ended is in all caps. So, okay, I'm trying to decipher this. So sometime in the next 18 hours, I guess, Trump says the war is over. And Israel and Iran are done shooting each other. So that's just hitting there. So that'll be the big item everybody's talking about tonight on the news programs. All right, before I bring in my good friend DJ Coulter from American Family Insurance, want to let you know it is time for another qualifier in the Great Grocery Giveaway. That's right, we're giving away $10,000 worth of groceries. What a great prize. Cannot wait. There's going to be a ton of fun Thursday, July 10th at Kingpin's, and we are taking qualifiers for the entire month of June and into early July, and we get to get one more qualifier in the pile right now. And so we are looking for Deb Tingem of Fargo. Deb Tingem, you have 11 minutes. It is 5:23 on the nose right now. So, Deb, you've got till 5:34 to give us a call, 701-271-1100, and you will be our qualifier today on the Steve Hallstrom Show, and one of the folks that has the opportunity to win the big prize. So, Deb Tingem of Fargo. If you know Deb, call her, text her, let her know. Sister, don't miss this opportunity. Could be $833 of groceries a month for the next 12 months. Man, are we having fun with this contest. Thanks to our sponsors, Kingpins, Rusco Window, Grease Monkey, Barkin Biscuits, All Sauger Meats, and ND Estate Services, Mark Wagner. We're pleased to welcome to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line right now, DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance. Asked if he would come on today to talk about what things are like now in the insurance world after the storms that rolled through over the weekend. Hey, DJ, how you doing?
Steve-O, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for doing it. Been a little busy today, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the last 3 days have been a lot going on in our region.
Yeah, no kidding. A storm rolls through like that. I know you do a lot of coverage for people in town, but also farms, lake places, and, man, all the way from Jamestown up through Bemidji. And I know that you write policies all over the place. What are you hearing from your people? What kind of questions do they have when they're calling in to you right now?
Well, I think what's unique about this situation, Steve, is that we had multiple storms from Friday night to last night, you know, all over. And it, I mean, from Bismarck, and then, you know, that the main big storm was Friday night. I mean, there's stuff that was going on in Bismarck to Jamestown Valley. Hey, we got claims going on in Page, Galesburg. And then you have all the way over to Bemidji. You know, we had a customer that, you know, called us and, you know, a tree was through his roof in Bemidji, and he's trying to get, you know, most every customer knows, people that have home insurance, that it's your responsibility to mitigate any further damage. But it gets really tough when we have storms like this and there's not enough contractors to help fast enough when holes are through roofs, you know, is a lot. That just the wind was just so powerful and caused so much damage.
Yeah. So do most people, let's talk about the farmers here for a minute. Because I've heard a lot of stories from farmers out west of town that, you know, lost buildings and sheds and bins and all that kind of thing. Do most farmers carry protection on all of those things where they'll have, you know, I've got all my bins are covered and there's a separate policy for that. And then my machine shed and my tractors. How do farmers typically, how do you advise them typically to try to insure everything so that if something like this happens, you don't have to pay for a brand new bin or a brand new tractor?
Yeah, I think that's always up to a farmer. You know, they're a business owner and they decide what they want to self-insure and what they want to pay the premium to insure. And when these type of storms come through, that's one of the top, you know, items that is damaged the most. That's why it costs so much more in premium than it used to 20 years ago, is to have your outbuildings, your, you know, especially those buildings that are maybe built 40, 60, 80, 100 years, some of those older buildings, you know, and it doesn't take much. I mean, we got a customer that turned a claim in that they have an older shed that they had some coverage. It's a lot of times it's ACV coverage, actual cash value coverage, Steve. So it's not, you know, it's just the value at the time of loss. And let's say they have 20,000, it's $50,000 to rebuild, but they just wanted to pay for $20,000 of actual cash value. And we had one where it was about ready to fall over. It was on its last leg, just tilted about 45 degrees over. And, you know, now we're going to, there's no way to fix it. You're just going to have to finish pulling it over, take the money and walk away.
You know, I've got to think, DJ, there's a lot of farmers that say, okay, I know I should insure everything, but I'd probably go broke if I did. What advice do you give to people? Because the farmers, they've got so much to insure. How do you advise them on how to do that so that they get covered for something? So if you do have a storm like this, and there's some farmsteads that, man, it's a darn near a total loss. How do you advise them on how much insurance coverage they need and how to handle that?
Well, on their newer buildings built in the last 20, 30 years, you want to try to get them replacement costs. And those are the ones that you want to pay the premium and make sure they're insured to get any type of replacement cost coverage. Where it starts getting turned into a challenge is the older buildings that, you know, have been around a while, but most companies aren't going to insure them at replacement cost. Do you have any, you know, looking at options, is it worth having 20, 40, 60, 80, you know, actual cash value coverage on a building that's maybe 150 to have replacement cost on, or it's too old to even have it on, so you have something on it? And that's really at the end of the day. So, Steve, come back to what I said earlier, is they got to decide as a business, you know, do you want to self-insure that, or do you want to, you know, take that risk on or not? That's really up to them and them deciding. I always tell people, take, you know, it's most companies have this on Section 4 of their farm policy, and they take high deductibles, and usually one deductible applies to the whole portfolio. Some companies do it per building. Some do it the whole portfolio of outbuildings. And that's just kind of every year looking at that. What's really a challenge, Steve, is that most companies don't automatically raise that 4% like your homeowners. Here, most homeowners out there, they raise 4% every year to keep up with
inflation. Yeah, at least.
Right? Well, a farm policy, their outbuildings usually aren't raised. And I know, you know, I went through a lot of our farms all over the region a few years ago. I kind of had a panic attack when inflation and everything was just going crazy 2 to 3 years ago of, you know, this is what you have for coverages on these buildings. Do you want to raise it or not? You know, what options do you want to look at? And that's really the key. And maybe this will get everyone out there that has different outbuildings to at least assess what they have for coverage and see if they need to raise it. That's the most important thing. It's just knowing what you have. It just amazes me, Steve, how many, you know, people out there that have outbuildings have no idea how much coverage they have. And in this day and age, to put up a decent outbuilding, you're getting into six figures pretty quick.
Pretty quick. Will this storm, DJ, if I'm a farm owner or just a homeowner who had damage, or even just a homeowner who didn't have damage, is this storm going to be enough so that, okay, here we go again, next year premiums are going to go up because of this particular storm, or is this not a big enough event in itself to really move premiums next year?
I don't know if I can say that. It might take 2 or 3 months. I mean, remember, an insured has a full year to get a claim in and get the damage repaired, usually, most companies. So there might be a lot of people assessing what their damage is, what their deductibles are, getting reputable contractors to, you know, give them a bid. You know, you have time. That's the hardest part, Steve, which tore my heart, is Saturday morning, my phone blowing up with customers having, you know, roofs on vehicle, or, you know, trees on vehicles and on roof through roofs. And you know, I want to go out there and help them, but, you know, they just have to find a contractor, or, you know, you got to be careful that you don't get up there and get hurt or something happens if you don't know, you know, how bad the damage is, especially holes through roofs and stuff that's happening. But, you know, that's the tough part, is just having some patience, having some understanding that, you know, just take a ton of pictures, save your receipts. You know, it's going to be a process. It's going to take time. And to answer your question, I think we're going to know a lot more by this fall. How much damage? I think there's a lot of people just trying to get what's going on. I mean, Steve, I had, you know, from the storm, even Sunday morning out at like Cass Lake, I had claims where people's, you know, pontoons, there's lifts getting torn up. I mean, there was a lot of wind through the lakes area in Minnesota Sunday morning. Then you had stuff last night up Candu. You had hail and different stuff up in that area. And then, but Friday night to have a path like that and to see, I mean, if you've seen any the people that obviously it's terrible, the loss of lives and, you know, everything around here, south of Valley, one of my best friend's parents lost their place. And, you know, it just, but, you know, you look at like Page, North Dakota right now, many people are without power. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to take, they're asking volunteers to come out with chainsaws or tractors to help. You just don't see that. But please, please, if anyone has not seen what happened out in Bemidji, I mean, that is crazy. If you have not seen the videos and the pictures of Bemidji, that's never going to look the same again.
That's what people are saying. That town's been changed forever, basically, from this storm.
Bemidji,
no doubt about it.
Might have been the worst through all this. Mm. And it's crazy because the storm started way west, the Fargo metro area, and then it's ended up our, it's just what a path.
Yeah.
Amazing. This is going to be talked about forever.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you want to get a hold of DJ and find...
We're lucky you did get some big major population.
Yeah, that's right.
We're lucky. Bemidji got, usually there's a lot of the trees, but no one got majorly hurt. We are so lucky.
Yeah, if this would have hit Fargo or West Fargo. And at one point, it looked like that tornado that was sighted kind of down the Kindred area was going to kind of make a beeline for South Fargo, and then... I'll just say it's the good Lord watching out for us. That's about all you can say on that one. But that doesn't help people who did get the brunt of the storm. And we get that. 701-235-6641. 701-235-6641. I got about 10 seconds, brother. What you got?
Just real quick, just tell, make sure all your listeners find reputable local companies to handle, search up their business better. I mean, a lot of companies, startup entities, take money and run off. Here's your horror stories over the years.
So yeah,
find
good
someone
call.
Local and reputable. Take your time to get things done right.
Yeah, don't go for the guy driving through in a truck with Louisiana license plates to do the your repair work. All right, hey, thanks,
DJ. Put you in a bad spot.
There you go. Yep. Thanks, DJ. Appreciate the time. Dude. All right, DJ Coulter, American Family, 701-235-6641. 534, Bridget Riedel is here, Flag Family Ag Director, and she can tell you a few stories about people without power. She's been living it in her own home as well, and some of the storylines that are unfolding today, overnight and into day, with grain bin storage, and what are farmers going to do getting the crop out of the field? Nobody better to talk about that stuff than Bridget. We'll do that with her when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Bridget Riedel is the Ag Director for Flag Family Media, and she has been a tremendous resource for so many during this particular time, both her family members and people on the radio as well listening for her perspective, because she's living through this. She lives out kind of toward the Hunter Way, and she and her husband and everybody around there is just scrambling to get power back, and thankfully that's happened for Bridget. And boy, where do we start on this one, sister? You said that this is like nothing you've seen before.
So as a kid growing up on farms in North Dakota, on a farm in South Central North Dakota, we had storms that, you know, we were sent to the basement a time or two. There's never been a time that I have ever been scared. And Friday night, I can tell you I was scared. Now knowing that it was Category 4 hurricane force winds, I can understand why I could hear that roaring train coming from 3-4 miles away.
What was that like?
You know, when you wake up and you can hear that noise, and the first thing you think of is that's got to be a tornado. And you would think that that would move fairly quickly, but no, it
this
doesn't.
One didn't.
It
Not
stayed
the straight
a
line
long
winds.
Time.
What did it sound like?
It sounded like every storm you can imagine combining that, and you could hear your house creak. You couldn't even hear the trees breaking over the noise of the roar of the wind, which normally, you know, like in ice storms, you'll hear the popping when trees are breaking. You didn't even hear that. And so you just knew things were bad. When it passed at about 3 a.m., everybody's flashlights were out as they went to go scope out what things look like around town.
When did it start for you, and when did it end? Like, when was like the nasty stuff, when you're like, oh my gosh, the scared part? How long did that last?
So I want to say that there were actually two waves. Now, this is my memory, waking up at 11:30, quarter to 12 at night, saying, I hear all this wind, and I woke my husband up and I said, this sounds really bad. And that lasted probably about 10 minutes, it felt like. And then it left us with 3/4 of an inch of rain. But closer to 2 a.m., that's when the real main event started and continued for at least a half hour. Others may recall differently. This is just simply my recollection. And it was after that that we just knew to be in a safe spot in the house. You stay away from windows and doors, because as you mentioned earlier, there are so many stories coming out about what happened at people's homes, how doors and windows were blown out and furniture sucked out through the openings, and the devastation of farmyards and shops. Farm equipment is currently smashed. Oh. The grain handling systems we have on farm and in communities that are just trashed.
I heard somebody say it's going to be $1 billion storm in damage. And I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
That could be on the low end. Tell me this. So we lost a lot of bins out there, and not just little ones. If you had grain in the bin, that actually helped because it gives you some girth in the bin and makes it more stable. But we lost a lot. Some bins are just, there's just a concrete slab and you can't even find where the bin is at. Mm-hmm. Others just look like a giant hand just crumpled them the way the wind mounts with the pressure there. So what do we do, Bridget, when if you lost a 200,000 bushel bin or bigger, mm-hmm. and you don't have it, and you were supposed to put your grain in there, mm-hmm. when the harvest comes, what are we going to do? We're going to have a ton of product that needs to get to an elevator, but now with all the elevator damage, we may not have enough elevators to bring it to.
There's four elevators right around me that have damage, significant damage, some worse than others, no doubt. But I think that conversation is probably been happening today with those folks on staff, thinking about what's my next step. How do we get our repairs done? Will we get them done in time? Of course, costs are going to escalate, particularly with tariffs on steel and aluminum, in order for those repairs to happen. We constantly have a labor shortage in those smaller communities, right? Anytime you're looking for help, it's hard to get them to travel 30, 45 miles out of town for that type of work. And so we don't necessarily know the answer to that yet, but I would say that this will impede harvest tremendously. And you have equipment in sheds that's now damaged. That needs repair. You still have to continue to tend the crop you have, although there are areas, as you and I talked about earlier today, that ground is just scoured. It looks as though nothing was even planted there.
Mm. It just turned into like a sandstorm, basically, with just the dirt wiping out the beans. And
residue. So if you have a soybean crop that was planted in the last year's corn stalks, and we leave residue in the field on purpose, we want to prevent erosion, we want to hold moisture back, it's really a good plan. But now, with that force of a wind, it comes running over the top of that young soybean and breaks them off, runs them over, shreds them. A lot of ragged-looking corn. I went by our field for Here We Grow, which is our project.
Oh, our wheat field.
And our wheat field looks pretty good because it was planted May 8th, so it's a little bit later. I will tell you that our field signs need a little bit of work that I'll have to get on later this week. But right now, you know, that's minimal because my friends 3 miles away lost the roof on their house. So it is a tremendous amount of shock and awe. Folks tried to get some things cleaned up Saturday. A lot of volunteers came into the city of Hunter on Sunday. There was quite a bit of activity today before I had to leave town, where you're looking at the county coming in with trucks and payloaders trying to move things. I appreciate the fact that some folks came into town and just wanted to find a way to help. That's great. If you just came into town and wanted to look around, that got in the way because we have to pass through a residential area to get to our city dump to dump our trees. And we have full-size semis and 53-foot trailers. I myself drive in a 3/4-ton pickup with a 22-foot trailer. I was very worried about clipping cars, people. Sure. So we got to be really cautious and watch where we're going.
If everybody, not everybody, but if a lot of people have to bring their crop right out of the field to the elevator, that's not going to be any good for prices, right?
Well, the prices aren't exactly awesome right now.
And they're not good to start with?
No. This is not going to help our situation at this point.
Yeah.
So, and we've got many other things now as a new threat. When you think about what happened with Iran, they've immediately announced that they're going to focus on cyber attacks. The FBI and Homeland Security tell us that agriculture is the number one or two target on cyber attacks.
Like we need something else, right?
Exactly. So now we should be watching that. Think of all of the potential spoofing schemes, insurance schemes that could be happening. We have to be extra diligent post-storm on what we have to complete physically with our insurance company, our banker, all the online. And really, no one should go this alone. If help is offered, take it. Yeah. Take the help, whether it's
which is
an extra
so hard,
hand.
Right? Us farmers, yeah. I say us. I grew up on a farm, but my dad, stubborn, like, you know, I'll go help anybody all day long. I'll work my fingers to the bone for somebody else, but if someone wants to help me, you know, I'm okay.
Speaking of help, we really want to say a big shout out to the Enderlin FFA chapter. They are organizing area FFA chapters to meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. at the Enderlin Fire Hall. These students are going out to clean fields. They're going to help pick up debris in farm fields and wherever they can in the area. If you can join them, there is contact information. I've posted on the Weather and Ag Facebook page as well as my own. And Ag Country Farm Credit Services is stepping up to provide refreshments and meals for the volunteers who will help all day tomorrow. So students, whether you're FFA, 4-H, whomever, there is an opportunity for you as kids to get in and help as well.
You know, I didn't even think about that till you mentioned it. But yeah, if you got debris sitting out in a field, I mean, that's going to mess with your spraying equipment or sometime when you got to combine that field. And, you know, the crop grows up around it, you might not see it. So this is the time you got to get at that stuff before the crop gets too high and you can't even see that stuff anymore.
And your crop maybe wasn't terribly damaged, but that grain bin that rolled into it, now you got to try to pull that thing out.
Oh, my gosh.
And, or are you just going to leave it until harvest and farm around it until you can get to it?
I've got to. You mentioned this to me earlier today when I saw you in the hallway. Say you're 65.
Yes.
And you're like, you know, I've been trying to hang around for a few more years. You might just say, you know what? Mm-hmm. Call it good.
Yeah, that can go two ways. You might just say, okay, I'm in a position where if I call it good and I'm done, that's best. Or, no, I'm not going out like this. I'm going out on a high note and they may want to continue. So it'll be very curious to talk with the bankers later this fall to see some of the actions taken and how it affected folks.
Yeah. God, I don't even know what else to ask you. It feels like we could talk all day, but what else do we need to be talking about here?
I was asked about livestock earlier today. Critters are smarter than we are. They made sure they took cover. They would be injured by debris unless they had a twister cow-like moment. But overall, I've not had any reports as of yet. If I hear anything from North Dakota Stockmen's Association or Livestock Alliance, I will pass that along. But again, critters, and especially the area affected, we have a little less pasture and livestock operations. Yeah. I haven't heard anything as of yet where they were affected.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like even hail, they handle that pretty good. Their finish and their coat is so tough that they can handle just about all those things. All right, sister. Well, we are thankful that you've got power back at your place.
Yay.
And that things are returning to normal slowly but surely. But for a lot of people, it's got to be just such a like a mountainous wall of things to do. It's like, where do you start? So prayers and best wishes to everybody in the ag community and those who just lost property, you know, homes and that kind of thing too. But thank you for coming by. Great to visit with you again.
Thanks for the help we've been getting from many.
Bridget Riedel, Flag Family Ag Director. Thank you, sister, for stopping by. 5:48, Steve Alsham Show. When we come back, Jim Hydorn will be with us. He's the mayor of Page, North Dakota. Hard to find an area hit harder than Page. We're going to talk to Jim about what life is like there coming up next. Final word on the program today comes from Jim Hydorn. He is the mayor of Page, North Dakota, joins us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for your time. How are you guys hanging in up there?
Well, we're doing pretty good, Steve. Getting town cleaned up. We can move around town really good. Now we're just kind of working in yards and areas and stuff, trying to get the trees cleaned up. But otherwise, we're doing quite well for what we went through.
Yeah, the iconic Page elevator. I've seen the pictures now going around social media, and just makes you want to cry when you see the damage and so many bins up there and property as well. What's it been like as mayor, just trying to go around and see what happened in your community?
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve. Saturday morning was probably the biggest shock I've seen in my lifetime, to be honest with you. I've been here since 1984, so this is home for me. But I come up to this. I knew we had this storm on Friday night, and I come up here on Saturday morning, and I couldn't get up here. I had to walk up to the city shop, and I knew right away when I started looking down streets, I'm going, oh, my God, we have a mess, and it's not a small mess. It was a major mess. It was quite a shock. That's all I can say. And I was just thinking to myself, how in the heck are we going to clean this up and get through this? But it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing, though.
How
fast? We're doing quite well.
Good to hear. So, Paige, a couple hundred people in the town, how has the community come around each other? And I know how it goes. It's you just jump in. You don't even maybe know the guy next door, but, hey, you heard some people are getting together to lift the roof off something else that blew off a building a quarter mile away, and people just jump in. What's it been like watching the people of your community come together?
Well, you know, it's really funny, Steve. I'm gonna put it this way. You might not get along with your neighbor. You might not like the guy down the street. But when something bad like this happens, everybody forgets all the BS that goes along with, well, he did this to me, or he did that, or said this, whatever. Everybody forgets that stuff when something bad like this happens. They all stick together. You know, and it's pretty amazing. And one of the things that amazes me the most is we put out a call for some help, and the amount of people that have shown up. I mean, there was people from Forks, from Fargo, from over in Minnesota. I mean, it was just shocking when you seen how many people were in town to help. You know, and they're still calling. There's people calling all the time. Can we help you? Can we help you? So it has been really good. It's just totally amazing. That's the only words I can think about it.
Mm. Well, a lot of us in town grew up on farms, and we moved here because we wanted to or had to. The job was here, the kids were here, whatever. But a lot of people in those bigger cities, they have agriculture roots, and they know what the farm community means to our economy and our way of life. And a lot of us, we look at an elevator and we see a picture, we're like, oh, you know, Dad had a bin just like that or something. So those roots, they run deep and they last for sure. How can people help now? Sometimes you want to get involved, Jim, but you don't know what to do. And if you don't have the right equipment and that kind of thing, you might think maybe my help isn't needed. But where could you use some help right now? And how do people let you know?
Well, Steve, here's kind of where we're at. I just made my little tour around town after I left my normal job. And I took a little tour around town, and I talked to the guys that were working today, you know, because most of us have a normal job and we run businesses and we can't be out here all the time. And the majority of the big stuff is cleaned up. So right now we're kind of in that mode where it's chainsaw, rake or shovel and a fork. You know, it's going to be a lot of hand labor right now because we got a lot of stuff in yards that's just it's pretty unbelievable, just all the busted up stuff around.
Yeah.
So basically, volunteer wise, we need a lot of hands, put it that way.
Okay. There are a lot of us who are spiritual people that listen to this program. I know many of my friends and listeners do. How can we pray for the people of Page?
Just pray that it gets better here. I guess that's about the only thing. I mean, well, we are very thankful nobody got hurt, and we will survive.
Yeah. Well, Jim, we appreciate you taking some time. I know it's a really crazy time there, but it just brings us such a great perspective when we can have someone like yourself take the time to do it. So we appreciate you. Take care up there, and keep on doing what you're doing. The city needs great leaders, and people like you are the people that they look to. So stay strong up there, my friend, okay?
All right. I just have one thing to say. I want to thank all the volunteers, and I want to thank all the linemen. Those guys are amazing.
Yeah. Well, no doubt about that. What they went through and what they go through is crazy, the risks that they take. You got that right.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jim. Hey, thanks again. Thanks for taking the time, and be well, sir.
You bet. You take care. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Well, you can hear the emotion in his voice, can't you? My goodness. Yeah, I think, and Page, North Dakota is like so many other places. Everybody's telling the same story in so many of those rural communities. I'm from a place like that, and boy, this stuff hits home. All right, my friend, thanks for being with us here on the program today. Lots of good perspective. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night and keep on flying that flag.